We begin the hour by talking sports with Dr. Deb Strohman, UNC professor, longtime sports commentator, joining us now on the phone to talk about the news in the sports world that everyone is talking about. You heard the CBS report a couple of minutes ago, NFL owners approving a new policy allowing players to be in the locker room for the national anthem if they don't want to stand for it, but requiring players to stand for the national anthem if they're out on the field. As you can imagine, this is not the end of the conversation. This is going to go on for some time, but that's the policy announced by the NFL earlier today. Deb Strohman joining us on the line. Thanks for being with us, and what's your take on this new policy?
Well, Aaron, I am continuing to just shake my head. This does not address the matter at hand, and I know it's not easy. It's hard to find a comfortable solution for everyone. But the NFL owners, all 32 of them, they approved this policy and did not speak to the Players Association or the union or try to get the players' opinions on this. So immediately the NFLPA responded back saying they are, in so many words, that they're not happy and they are going to continue to fight for justice in this matter. There are a number of things to discuss in this. And part of the problem is the history of the NFL. It's the ownership is perceived, and some people say rightfully so, as being racist, sexist, and greedy. Everything from the blunders that they constantly do, it's almost as if their diversity and inclusion office, their executive leadership, their general managers, like all of them are completely clueless to implicit bias, to structural racism, to how to treat and respect women. It's just one thing after another. But strangely, Aaron, despite all of that, it continues to have incredible numbers in terms of revenues, over $13 billion being raised. The NFL ad revenue last year continued to increase, even though the ratings are going down. Some people would say it's because live sports are still the best and last bastion of TV viewership, but the NFL, the owners continue to make a lot of money in different ways, even though their cultural norms and acceptance by more and more Americans is getting very, very unforgivable.
There's a whole bunch of different facets of this issue that ought to be explored. Let's start with the money question, because this is being framed as a debate about patriotism, which has a whole bunch of different issues related to the fact that that's how the debate is being framed. But, and you know more about this than I do, so I'll let you expound on this. The whole idea of the players being out on the field standing for the national anthem in the first place began as essentially a money grab by the NFL owners. This wasn't an act of patriotism. This was a way to increase revenue.
Absolutely right. And in fact, recent numbers have outlined that the Defense Department, when they were doing their analysis and auditing, they found that they spent at least $10.4 million on marketing and advertising contracts with professional sports teams. And that was just over a three-year period, 2012 to 2015. And sadly, like a lot of governmental agencies, they couldn't accurately account for the full number of contracts and payouts, but it was pretty substantial. There is no doubt that the government was doling out millions of dollars to the NFL for things that are related to patriotism, everything from military flyovers, flag unfurlings, emotional color guard ceremonies, enlistment campaigns, a big recruiting tool, national anthem performances. So in many sense, in many ways, the NFL actually started politicizing the flag and this whole thing around patriotism. And then they're asking their labor force to participate and be a part of that. So some people, regardless of where you stand in terms of racism, sexism, and just greed, some people will say that is problematic. Where you do this to your labor force. I don't think anybody would be happy regardless of your religion, your politics, your morals, anything. You would be happy if your employer made you do something that you might not be comfortable with, or maybe you just don't want to display it in public. But that's certainly something that the NFL players have to go through and accept.
I think you made a good point in there, too, which is that the politicization of the national anthem is not a one-sided thing. And I think this is often the case where when someone politicizes a gesture or a symbol or an event or something as a way of challenging the status quo, that's called out as politicization. When someone does the exact same thing with the exact same event or symbol or gesture in defense of the status quo, we don't see that as politicization is all, but it equally is.
Absolutely. You're spot on. And because of the elephant in the room, again, around race, so many people immediately see this kneeling as an act against America, against our soldiers, against who we are as a country. And as Colin Kaepernick and others have repeated over and over, it is a gesture showing respect for the flag by kneeling versus sitting down. Again, to show that we need to have more attention and efforts to reduce the amount of police brutality against brown and black people in America. And so if you want to show your displeasure with the way America continues to move in that regard, then you want to show, you want to do something in public. And so this was a way not to boycott the game, not to be with your teammates, none of that, but to make a very American, some people would say, including a lot of soldiers and veterans who support Colin Kaepernick in this movement, they say this is the proper way to do it. But unfortunately, there are those who grab a hold of something like this and they use it to pull people apart. But this whole flag decision by the NFL, it really is problematic in a number of ways. Everything from what about players who are in the locker room and have nothing to do with the protest? Now they have to spend time explaining that they're not a part of the protest. Well, maybe they are, but they would actually rather go out on the field, but it's an injury situation. How about what is the proper standing position, Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have your chin up, eyes open, no whispering or talking to yourself in prayer? Should you face the flag? It is really, really just sweeping this under the rug and not really addressing the heart of the matter.
Speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman, and that raises another point. This is, you have to, if you're out on the field, you have to be standing for the national anthem, and the policy says you have to be standing with respect, and then proceeds to not define in any way what it means to be standing with respect. So you know that's going to come up as an issue at some point. Honestly, like, if I'm a player and I want to protest the national anthem, the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to stand there and stand there with my fist raised, stand there with the Wakanda Forever salute, stand there with something other than my hand over my heart and just see how far this policy goes.
Well, you're exactly right. And I know my religious background. I remember one of my pastor many, many years ago when I lived up in Maryland said that, please don't call him reverend, as in no man should be revered, only God. And so to place your hand on your heart is showing an allegiance to man, to a country, versus to your creator. And so that in itself, some people might interpret, that player doesn't have his hand over his heart. Let's interpret that and take that another way. I know many people, when they're getting ready for athletic contests, they don't even want to focus on anything but calming the mind, a lot of visualization. So they keep their eyes closed and they're doing mental exercises. So you're not going to be singing the anthem. So will people interpret that? Others like to say prayers. And so will that be interpreted in many ways? I just think we're drawing more and more attention to this, to the positioning of how a player will respond to the playing of the national anthem. And without even going into the conversation of the racist words within the national anthem that many people of color and whites don't even want to sing anyway. So, Aaron, we could just go on and on about this, but I just wish there was some courageous and bold leadership, not only in the NFL, but other institutions in America where we're addressing structural and institutional racism and trying to get a better outcome to heal America.
So speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman, so what ought to be the next steps? Now the NFL owners have announced this policy. If you're a player and you're opposed to it, the Players Association is going to challenge this, but assuming that it ends up getting upheld, this isn't a constitutional issue necessarily because this is a private company. So what as a player should you do if you want to challenge this or if you have a problem with it? And second question, what should you do as a fan if you have a problem with it? If you're at the game, if you're making a decision to watch or not to watch or to support or not to support, what should the next steps be?
Well, in terms of a player, it's all about collective bargaining and organizing. And so they have their players' associations. I'm sure meetings and conversations and even personal conversations with friends across the league and your teammates, you'll figure out what your next strategy will be. I'm sure there will be some players who don't want to be bothered, so they will stay in the locker room for whatever reason. They just don't want to have a public, a public response to their being there or not being there. So they'll choose to just stay out of it. Others will come up with some type of gesture as they stand in respect to the flag, but still questioning the police brutality that's happening across our country. And then others, they'll respond in terms of economics. And so as a fan, when you buy a ticket, you're saying that you support the NFL. Now, of course, there might be some of those who do receive a nice gesture from a friend or a family member where you end up with a complimentary ticket. But in general, you are actually voting to support the NFL by purchasing a ticket and showing up. So there will be the boo birds, but I'm hopeful that most people will continue to do whatever they want to do in respect to our American democracy, showing their support or lack of support for policies. But we do that in a very kind way, a very nonviolent way, and we have to respect that. That's what America is based on, that we have the ability to disapprove governmental actions or private sector actions. That's what makes America. And so for people to be so angry and upset and calling people thugs and they need to be fired, that really goes against all of what America was supposedly built upon. In terms of the bigger picture with addressing systemic and institutional racism, and especially for a league that's 70% black, I think we need some awareness, we need understanding, and then we need application. So the awareness is really just about education, more conversation, more research, understanding. We have to do some reflection, we have to do the analysis, and then application means lots of training, especially around this implicit bias that shows up 95 to 98% of the time our brain is functioning. It's lots of organizing. And then some people would say that the situation we have here in America now, it's not going to work ever. And so we have to create an alternative community. So I'll just pause there and say we definitely have to do something. But right now, we're going to have a lot more conversation around this over the next few months.
And we do have to wrap up, but I want to go back to a point you made right at the very beginning, that this is not a comfortable solution for everyone, but it's not a comfortable issue, right? So there isn't going to be a comfortable solution.
You're exactly right. And if we all go back to the history of America and how it was formed and how whiteness was created and how we've taken different topics, different issues, and use that to create walls and barriers and hurdles as opposed to respecting each and every one of us. Underneath the skin color, we are all the same. And the closer we can get to understanding that, I think the better chance we have to have the brilliance of America come out and certainly many more positive outcomes for people of color.
Dr. Debbie Stroman, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you.